Welcome to All Things Weddings, helping you navigate your wedding planning journey. And here are your hosts, Scott and Hannah.
Hello, welcome to All Things Weddings. I'm Scott, the photographer behind Scott Carney Photography.
And I'm Hannah, the wedding planner behind Hannah Rachel Weddings. We're here to help you navigate your wedding planning, to freely share tips, insights, and behind the scenes, so you hopefully feel less overwhelmed and stress-free while planning your gorgeous wedding. Want in on all our tips and to listen to us chat to some of our favourite suppliers? Well then, let's dive straight in.
Hey Hannah, how have you been?
Not bad, thank you. I feel like as we were just saying, it's been a couple of months since we've had a bit of a catch up, and it's now just getting really busy. Well, not busy, but yeah, wedding season's really kicking off, and there's a lot of the admin side of things. So yeah, just getting through that at the minute. What about you?
Yeah, so I've just delivered my second wedding of the year, and I'm saying I've got 3 weeks now till my next wedding, and then I've got five in 2 weeks or something like that. So it's just a really busy period. So just getting ready for them. Lots of meetings, which is I quite like it. It's a fun part, isn't it? Catching up with the couples, going through everything before the day, which has been nice. And then, just all that. So yeah, it's been a little while since we've chatted, but lots of interesting stuff going on, I guess. Just the weather's actually been nice today. It's the first day. I feel like it's been sort of sunny-ish and warm. I had two layers instead of four.
Yeah, it's been absolutely gorgeous. Just looking out the window now, it's beautiful blue sky, which is really lovely, definitely needed. And I hope it continues for a lot of weddings, because I've got a lot of outdoor elements for quite a few of my weddings this year, a lot of marquee weddings, and we have wet weather plans, obviously, but we are just praying for some beautiful weather. So let's hope it stays.
Yes, same for me. Last year was super wet, wasn't it? So I'm just hoping that I can live with it. It's been pretty great till now. So if we get a nice May onwards, I think that'll be that'll be good. So who are we speaking to this week?
So we're speaking with Charlie from Charlotte's Floral Design. We've both worked with Charlie a few times now, which is lovely. We were just chatting just down the road from me, which is always nice. A lovely local supplier. Really big on sustainability and eco-friendly designs, based your whole business around that, haven't you, Charlie? And I think that's really why we're really keen to talk to you today, because it's something that I'm really interested in and a lot of my couples are as well. So it'll be really great to get your take on the industry and kind of why you decided to sort of set up your business. So really excited to chat to you.
You just said there, Hannah, about Charlie's based close to you. So where are you actually based, Charlie? What sort of your area that you work in and stuff?
So hi guys, thanks for getting me on the podcast. So yeah, I'm only about 10 minutes from Hannah. I'm based near Tadcaster between Leeds and York, in a tiny little picturesque village. And I've been here, I've started my business nearly 4 years ago now.
Just sort of as COVID hit, wasn't it? So
It was a bit awkward. I think some of it played in my favour and some of it didn't. So, yeah.
That's cool. Have you always been into flowers and is floristry the word? Yeah, floristry and flowers and things like that. Or is this was it quite new before you started your business?
I've always liked the outdoors and nature and all those kind of things. Floristry, to be honest, I hadn't really thought about it. I actually used to work in the vet industry and wanted a change. And then I got married myself. At that point, when I was thinking about the change, I suddenly thought, oh, maybe I could do something to do with weddings. And I loved the flower kind of design element. And that's kind of where I started.
So when you started out then, how did you decide that you wanted to go down the kind of sustainable, eco-friendly route? Because I know there's a lot of florists there, and a lot of training that you do nowadays isn't really swayed to the kind of eco direction. What made you kind of want to channel that and go down that route rather than, say, more traditional sort of floristry?
So when I started doing floristry, I kind of, probably like everybody else thinks, you don't really see it as, because everything's kind of green, you probably see it as quite eco-friendly anyway. And then the more I kind of learned about the industry, I realized there's like a huge amount of single-use plastics and a few elements like floral foam and stuff that really, really was really bad for the environment. So I kind of looked, and that kind of went against my ethos, I'd say, in life in general. I try and be quite eco-friendly. So I looked at kind of methods that didn't need the single-use plastics, didn't need the floral foam. And actually, they're not that difficult, and I get on with them really, really well. So I was kind of determined to do it a bit differently and not follow the traditional methods.
Completely. Did you have any kind of training then when you started out? Like, obviously, it's the easy part, I sometimes think, is having the idea of, like, that you want to set up a business and what you might want to go into. But it's the actual, like, practicalities of it. There's a lot to know and a lot to learn. Did you just kind of, like, learn on the job, or did you do any training? How did that sort of work out for you?
So I did a little bit of both. I did a 2-week training course at a flower school. I kind of started it to see whether I definitely wanted to go down this route. And I absolutely loved the 2-week course that I did. It was really fun, and I just felt really comfortable and just really enjoyed the whole process. So from there, the only difference with that course is there was a lot of not so eco methods, a bit like floor foam. So from there, I did a lot of kind of self teaching, I guess, and learned on the job. I did a little bit of freelancing from some other local florists, which was super helpful, and got a lot of advice from them, and then kind of practiced on my own and built it up like that.
Yeah, that's really good. I think as well as, like, you know, you've mentioned, like, the floor foam stuff and the plastics, and there's my understanding, which is limited when it comes to flowers, to be fair, but there's, you know, it's quite a lot of, like, importing that goes on, isn't there, in general. I guess we as a country can't grow certain flowers all year round and things, so I know that's quite important to you to use kind of, you know, homegrown flowers or British flowers. Is that, like, a big part of the industry?
For me, it's my whole kind of thing. But I would say it's still quite a small part of the industry. It is growing, but you're right, we do have the limitations with the British flowers, with the British weather. Obviously, people get married all year round and they want flowers at their wedding. And British flowers, they just don't grow in the winter. We can't do it over here. So that is one of the reasons I don't actually design for weddings in the winter. Mine is generally spring, summer, and autumn. So I pretty much use, and I would say 90% British flowers. I would like it to be 100, but occasionally I just can't get hold of any, or we've had really bad winds, or drought. You know, well, not quite a drought, but times when we just can't predict. And the imported flowers are more reliable for that. But the British flowers kind of have the same benefit and disadvantage, is that they are unpredictable. So kind of being flexible is the key with them.
So in terms of that flexibility then, when you're kind of talking to couples, like in the first instance, how do you go about kind of explaining that? Do couples who are quite laid back or who want to be flexible with flowers, are they the ones that kind of just gravitate towards you, or do you kind of have to explain how that system's going to work?
Yeah, so I always talk to the couples about using British flowers, and what I tend to do, which I explain to them, is I tend to design by style and colour rather than specific flower types, which gives you that little bit more flexibility. But it's also nice because I think you get a surprise sometimes. Like, they don't know exactly what flowers they're getting, but they know, say they love peonies, which is like a big, fluffy, open flower. They might not be getting married when peonies are in season, because peonies are May, June time, and that is it. If they were getting married earlier, I would find like an alternative flower, like a double tulip or something that has the same kind of style, but isn't the same flower. And so that's kind of how I explain to couples how I would get their desire and design across in their bouquets and everything.
And that's really important, because you've really got, we say, me and Scott say all the time, but you've really got to be able to trust your suppliers, haven't you? And be able to put, you know, your ideas forward, but know that they are going to be able, they're going to have to maybe be, like you said, a bit flexible, things that have to, you know, change, but you've understood the brief and then you're going to like run with it and make sure it comes to fruition, however that may have to be. And I think it's really important that couples understand that things can't always be noted down on paper and they can't always be perfect, especially when it comes with such a like a natural organic substance like flowers. It is really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things as well, because you might go to somebody's wedding and their flowers are going to be individual to that wedding. They're never going to be the same, especially the British grown ones, because they often come up looking slightly different to what the picture looks like. So I think that's really, really cool, because it's so unique to that couple specific wedding. One of the things I often ask couples when I'm doing their consultation is if they could find some pictures either from Pinterest or from my portfolio that they like, because sometimes it's really hard to get across in words what style you like, and pictures are so helpful. So I always say, like, yes, send me any pictures that you like, and then I get a really good idea of the kind of style of flowers they like.
Yeah, I guess if you're not like, if you don't know flowers as such, then you might not know the names of them, or like say you're kind of trying to just say like, oh, they're quite big, or they're like this color, or they're, you know, it's hard to get across, I guess, and describe, isn't it, what you might actually like. Whereas I suppose, yeah, at least a picture, like, well, we like flowers that look like this, or we like these kind of bouquets, or we like this, we like that. It's, and you obviously you'll be able to see straight away, like, oh yeah, okay, she like this kind of look, or, you know, more muted or more colorful or big or small, or, you know, whatever it is, like more grasses or something, that thing, like all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's probably quite helpful.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah, really helpful. And I love it when someone tells me, or one of the couples tell me something that they like, and then I produce something else and they're like, that's exactly what I wanted. Or like, yes, you understood the style without being able to explain it in words.
Yeah, definitely. It must be really nice to sort of, because I know you'll maybe go and hand over certain flowers to the couple or family members on the day. It must be really nice when you get to see their reaction to them kind of receiving their flowers, or you have like a comment after the wedding and they'd send you a message to say they loved them. That must be really, really lovely, because sometimes it's really nerve-wracking, isn't it, when you go and you're not 100%, because you've just, like you said, you've had a bit of correspondence, you've had a couple of images, but you can't actually prove to them what it's going to look like until the actual day. So it must be nice when you get good feedback as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get nervous for every wedding, which I think is probably good, because I feel like it makes you work harder. But yeah, it's really nice when you get comments back, especially I get some sometimes from mums, or, you know, people that have been at the wedding that are like, oh my God, I love the flowers. So I'm like, oh, brilliant. Like, everybody can enjoy them.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it? What, when, like, so couples that are now like planning their weddings or looking for like a florist, what's the like process? If they, when they, you know, get in touch with you, do they need to like already have an idea of like what flowers they want? Like, what's that process? Do you, you know, go through a few things with them, or say like, go away, you mentioned Pinterest, like get a few images together and start from there? Or do you kind of have quite a rough start on that initial sort of consultation process, and then closer to the wedding you're pinning down sort of what style they might want even more?
Yeah, so normally what happens is the couples contact me, either email, website, or Instagram, or sometimes they give me a ring, and kind of I normally just check that I'm free on their date, and that the venue's kind of in the area that I can travel to, and then I send them my wedding brochure, which has lots of portfolio pictures. It has a bit about me, about the sustainability, how I work, and a price guide as well, and some testimonials as well, with some real wedding images. So I send them that and say, like, how, let me know how you get on. And then from there, I normally charge a booking fee, which then covers the next process. But up to that point, I have some couples that kind of know exactly what they want, or they have an idea. They would like something at the end of the aisle, then they'd like the bouquets, and then they'd like something on the tables, but they don't really know what, which is absolutely fine. And then you get others that are really unsure where they want flowers at all. And I'm always happy to give a little bit of advice and give them some ideas and then guide them to the prices to help them with the budget. And then once they're happy and want to book in, after the booking fee, I do a consultation form where they fill in all the ideas that they have, any pictures that they have, any colors that they like, all those kind of bits. And some people do really, really in-depth ones. And some people, they say, I don't really mind. I just want lots of wildflowers and I just want some bouquets and stuff like that. And then after that, I do a design proposal for them with different color palettes, different ideas. And then we have a chat together, either on Zoom or in person, depending on how far away we both are. And we chat through all the designs. And different ideas and anything they want to ask, I'll answer. And then after that, I produce the quote. And that's kind of how it goes up to the booking point anyway.
Yeah, it's good. It's like it's a lot, quite a like a lot to think about for couples in a way, but also like feel like you've streamlined it really well and kept it as simple as it can be, which is nice. And I guess like the pricing and budget thing's important because I guess a lot of couples probably reach out have no real clue about how much flowers cost, or like my entire reference of flowers is like, I don't know, maybe you get a bouquet in like the supermarket and that's like about as far as you know about flowers. So I suppose for a lot of people, it's like you have zero clue about how much it's going to cost or even a rough idea. So I guess having that, you know, to start with like, here's some examples and rough, you know, ideas of budget and stuff is quite, you know, really helpful, I guess, for couples, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Like you say, you don't often have flower designs done for many other occasions. So yeah, I also have a price guide on my website that people can look at beforehand if just to kind of help them with a starting point, because I think it's important when you're spending lots of money, and when you don't really know where to start. And it kind of also like saves time in there on their side and on my side.
We're really big believers, aren't we, Scott, in having price lists or, you know, an idea of costing pricing on your website. Because, like you said, just saves everybody time and it gives people, when they're actually looking at their overall budget, an idea of how that breakdown is going to happen, which I think is really, really important. So, obviously, when couples are kind of approaching florists and they're asking questions, what are some of the things that couples need to be asking to make sure that they are working with a sustainable, eco-friendly florist? You know, if that's really important to them, what kind of things can they ask to make sure that they get an understanding for that?
It's quite a hard one, that one. It's more kind of going down the specifics. So one of the big things is whether they use seasonal or British flowers. But it can be misleading sometimes because some florists use both. But I mean, I guess using British and imported flowers is better than just using all imported. And the other things to ask would be just if they use any single-use plastics or floral foam. It's less and less popular now that people are using floral foam, which is great. So hopefully there won't actually be that many florists that use it anymore. But it's all in the small bits, I would say. Doing big designs, a lot of people use plastic cable ties, which are obviously you can only use them once. So little bits like that. Or at the other end, what do they do with the waste flowers? Like, I put all mine into compost, so that's kind of another area to ask. But there's no governing body or any certificate or anything, unfortunately, at the moment for sustainability. So I think it would just be a bit of the like nitty-gritty questions, really, and just asking, like, oh, I'm really, if you're a couple interested, say, oh, we're interested in using seasonal British flowers and making it more sustainable. And I would think most people would let you know what their methods were.
Yeah, a lot of things, I guess,
yeah.
With same as weddings, you like say, because it's not, there's no real like laws or governing body, like you say, you kind of just, I suppose when you're speaking to suppliers, it's one of those things where, you know, we obviously often talk about on here, like just chatting to suppliers, getting a feel for them as a person and like, yeah, you know, oh yeah, I love them. I really want them to, you know, photograph my wedding or plan my wedding. Or so it'd be the same for with a florist, I guess, where it's like actually, yeah, she seems like really passionate about, you know, about obviously the fact that she's the business is sustainable, and obviously you're very keen on that, and you're showcasing that on your website, and you're talking to couples about that when they chat to you. And so I guess that's coming across then, which is, I suppose, is something for them to look for if there's no mention of that, or that it doesn't seem to have that concern really, I guess, then they're probably not gonna be as bothered about it in their business.
Yeah, generally people that are eco-friendly and sustainable do shout about it, so
yeah, which is good.
You normally can tell.
I think this is why, again, Instagram and if people got websites and things are really helpful, because you can get that bit of background on people before you kind of contact them. Sometimes it is quite daunting contacting suppliers, and you don't want to feel like you're contacting loads of people, but it is nice to kind of get an idea before you do reach out what they do and what they can achieve, which is nice. So then in sort of terms of obviously like every day for you, obviously we're getting really kind of like full on with wedding season now as we're kind of approaching like May, June. What you'll have a you'll probably predominantly work in venues, don't you? Do you have any sort of venues that you really love? Are there any kind of like installations that you enjoy doing? Like what really like makes it an amazing job for you being a florist? Like what do you love doing?
I would say my favorite venues are rustic barns, outdoorsy kind of ones. And I love it when people from the wedding party are there making something random, you know, that is means something to them. And I'm setting up the flowers at the same time and they're doing that. And it's all just like a really nice vibe. I think my style of floristry is quite natural, wild and rustic, and is more that kind of like English country garden-y kind of natural look, I'd say. So I think it complements those kind of venues. The designs I love, I like everything, but I think the ones I like the most are the meadowy style ones, and I do really big floor meadows that are great for in front of top tables or behind the couple while they're getting married. Anything that just needs a little bit of color or attention bringing to it, I just think they look brilliant and people always seem to really enjoy them.
Yeah.
I also really like doing the big hanging installations, but they're a bit scarier.
Scary in the fact that you need to make sure you've got enough like foliage and florals, or scary because you're worried they're going to fall on somebody?
They're just a big installation, and yes, I have to make sure like it's got all the, it can take all the weight, it's properly tied up and everything, because it's up high as well, it's not as easy to get water to everything, so getting everything in water tubes and everything like that, it's just a little bit more stressful. But they always like when I've done them and I pull them up or tie them up and I'm like, oh yeah, that looks really good, like really impactful. So I do love that element of it.
I suppose people don't realise, like, some people get quotes for, like, bigger installations and they're like, oh, my gosh, how does that cost so much? But like you just said, it's the actual, it's the planning out how it's all going to be supported. It's making sure, like you said, you've got the water tubes, it's all secure. It's quite a big thing, isn't it? And sometimes I imagine if you've got bigger weddings, you might need to use freelancers. So it's all included in the cost, isn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely with the bigger installations, I do hire freelance florists. And sometimes you almost need that person just to hold the other end while you're getting the other end up. Because they're all like working at height as well.
There's a ton of flowers in those things as
yeah,
well,
yeah,
right? I think sometimes you see it like if you're making it like lower down and then raising it and stuff, like when you see just the sheer amount of light, just to make it obviously look full and look dramatic, and especially like big marquees and things like that where they're like, you know, there's a lot of space just for it to look like prominent, and there's just so many flowers in there. I'm always amazed. I'm like, that is literally a lot of flowers.
Exactly. If you like compare it to the size of a bouquet, a hanging hoop would probably be like, I don't know, 50 times, 100 times a bouquet. So yeah,
they're big. But they are, like Scott said, they are really impactful. They do make such a big difference. I think, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you agree, Ty, but it's worth spending the budget on some really key pieces rather than trying to spend it, like spread it so thinly. I'm sure loads of people say this, like spread it so thinly that you don't really get any impact from it. Like, you know, you kind of got to be really careful. And again, that's probably why you hire a professional florist, because then they can help advise you on these things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, some people do have questions like that, or they're not sure where to spend it, but they really like, say, like one of the big designs. But people always worry about the tables. I think it's just a traditional thing about, we've got to have the flowers on the tables. But sometimes if you've got a big installation, like one wedding in a barn, I did this ginormous hanging hoop with all these dangling flowers and foliage and, you know, like vines and everything. And then she was like, oh, what about the tables? And all we did on the tables was little clear vases with a couple of stems in, just to continue the colour onto the tables. And it worked perfectly, because there's food on the tables, there's drinks, there's handbags, you know, like there's everything on the table. So it was just, yeah, it worked really nicely. And yes, I mean, it's in all the photos and it looks fab.
Yeah,
it's sometimes nice to be able to chat as well, isn't it? If you sat at the tables, you don't necessarily want like huge center. I know some people do, but yeah, a lot of times it's not as practical, I would think, with huge centerpieces. And like, say, if you've got, especially if you've got quite a lot of tables, and that's a big expense, when I say you could maybe put that into a big centerpiece type insulation just in the, you know, high up or on the floor or whatever, but something like that. I think, I don't know, I say, I've done a lot of marquees, teepees and stuff, and they've had maybe a separate area where maybe they're getting ready, getting married outside. They've had a few, like, either insulation-y arch things, or like those, you know, in some sort of, you know, portable vase type thing. And obviously they've then had them stay outside the ceremony and then moved them to the like teepee or marquee for, you know, later on. So they're kind of still utilizing the pieces, you know, for more, able to sort of decorate the ceremony space and then have them for people to enjoy and look at for the rest of the day and stuff, which I think is kind of can be, I guess, a slight cost saving for people if they can utilize some of that that's a bit more portable as well.
Yeah, definitely. I try and encourage people to reuse a lot of designs, and most of mine are in water as well, so they're always in a container and you can just often pick them up and move them. And like you said, it makes sense, because then you can spend more and have just as many flowers in your ceremony and your reception if you're willing to move them. Or often I'll speak to venues and they will just move them for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a really good idea.
And you can do it really discreetly, like move. Most of my weddings have flowers that are moved throughout the day, and nobody needs to know. Like, the guests are busy drinking and nibbling on canapés, aren't they? They don't know that anything's been moved from place to place, and they walk into the next bit and they're like, oh wow, that's incredible. And I think that's really important as well. Like, it's just a little back house kind of setup, working out how it works, and nobody's none the wiser.
I've had a few couples that are worried about setting up on the day, and I'm always like, you won't even see me. I will come in, do everything. I'll give you your flowers and I will leave and it will look perfect. And then the next day, it will all be gone again.
Yeah.
Take it down and it's all going to be clean. So you don't have to do anything.
I think that's the thing. It's also quite sad in a way, because it's all this build up for this day and everything just looks incredible. And then all of a sudden, everything's just put back to how it was before. And it's like, I can see why people have that big come down after the wedding, because it is like you've had the most amazing day and then it's almost a shock to the system that it's over within like 24 hours.
Yeah, if I've ever had a wedding where I've like stayed on site for whatever reason, whatever, and like the next day I've been around in the morning, and you know, like going to like a marquee when it's just all like the empty glasses and beer bottles and like the you know, like some of the chairs are packed away, and it's all just like, you know, bare, you know, a lot more bare. It's always like sad in a way. Obviously it's great because you kind of, it's like scenes of like, oh, it was a great day and stuff, but yeah, it definitely looks different, doesn't it, than when it's like all ready, perfectly ready to go for the day.
It's amazing how much mess people make it a wedding as well. I mean, unless you
Oh, yeah.
clean up afterwards. Don't ever underestimate that.
Yeah.
I do always say to them, if they want to take the flowers home, they obviously they can. But like, there's so much going on that everybody's just like, no, it's okay. We'll just let you deal with this.
Yeah. I had a wedding fair on Sunday. I brought some flowers back for Sarah. She was very happy because the florist wasn't had a few to set up on the table and obviously couldn't reuse them that week. They were She says sometimes she'll have other things on she'll use them for, or like a window display and stuff. But yeah, she had nothing on, so she's like, I'll probably just have to get rid of them. I was like, oh, I'll take some. So yeah, they're on our dining room table now. Very, quite happy about that. So that's good. They're getting reused for a while.
Oh, lovely.
So that worked out well.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, flowers, they do always seem to make people happy. It's so simple, but yeah, they do.
Yeah, for sure. So where can people find out more about you, Charlie, then? Where's the sort of key places people to go to get more information or get in touch?
So the main one is my website, which is charlottesfloraldesign.co.uk. And then my Instagram as well, which I share quite a lot of my portfolio on there. And flowers being visual, it's really useful. And I've got links there to my website and everything, so but I do also reply to Instagram messages, so either way is fine. I do have Facebook, but I don't use it as often. But if anybody is Facebook only, then I am also on there.
Cool. Yeah, we'll link to everything obviously in the show notes anyway, and below and stuff. But yeah, just thank you so much for your time, Charlie. It's been great chatting to you and catching up again. And yeah, good luck for the rest of the wedding season as we start getting into May now and getting busy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really nice to chat to you.
No worries.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
You have been listening to All Things Weddings. Subscribe for future episodes or head to allthingsweddingspodcast.com for all the show notes.